Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here is your host of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Boom! Inaugural first episode, everybody. Welcome to The Millennial Dentist. I guess, guys, this really isn't our first episode, though.
It's not.
No, it's not. Well, it's not like the first episode to be aired. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, well, this is probably the sixth episode, but this is the first episode to be aired. This is the third time we probably tried to run this episode.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. What are we doing, boys? What's the point of this thing? Who are you?
So I'm Payman.
There we go.
Payman Racy, Dr. Payray. I go by Dr. Payray.
Check him out on Instagram.
Yeah. I'm very interested as far as there's a lot of things to talk about in dentistry, in dental world, as far as young dentists, old dentists, collaborations from getting out of dental school, starting your own practice or starting working for somebody as in a dental corporate. So there's a lot of things to talk about as far as relationships go, from being in a dental field, trying to open up your own business, like pretty much right now what I'm doing.
A lot we didn't learn in dental school, basically.
Correct. So a lot of things that we did not cover in dental school, and now we're going through in real life as far as managing patients, managing dental office, managing payroll, managing business side of dentistry. And a lot of things that nobody really knows till we talk about it, especially people that our audience, if some of those millennial dentists, I'm going for a lot of young dentists that they want to know, and there's not really a good platform for them to learn, to get in touch with a lot of people, especially like the ones that I feel like I have enough experience right now, at least to begin with, for the past 2-3 years of being out of school, of seeing the corporate world and now starting my own, the differences and the similarities from the corporate world to doing your own thing, which there's nothing really similar.
No, I think that's freaking great. I think you hit the nail on the head. For me, I guess ultimately, I think right along the lines you're saying there, there's kind of two things, I guess, that I wanted to accomplish. And I think you're definitely right. I think our target audience is definitely a younger audience. I mean, we're younger, we're millennials. We've all kind of been fortunate to be put into kind of, one, by working hard, and two, we've gotten into good situations and we've learned a lot over the past couple of years. So part of that is like we want to be able to impart a lot of that knowledge and maybe save some people some of the mistakes we've made.
Right.
Or to help them climb the ladder quicker and kind of show the world what millennials are doing, what we're capable of. Because I think a lot of times we get a bad rap for not wanting to work hard and not want things now. And you know, I think that's one of our best parts about our generation is we do want things now. I think we're willing to, you know, I know the three of us, we're grinding it out and we want to prove it. So yeah, Sharon, what are we doing? How are we making it happen? And then twofold, what does it look like working with an older generation? Mm-hmm. You know, three of us have had a lot of good relationships already with older dentists.
Oh yeah.
And how those relationships can be really influential to us and to them. I mean, how it can be a really good dynamic duo, basically a good team.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Like we need to stop what's happening, and that's you have more and more dentists graduating, having to go to corporate dentistry because there aren't associate jobs, there aren't older dentists wanting to hire younger dentists, and kind of dealing with that issue head on.
Yeah,
Holsinger.
Yeah, I would say I got into this just millennial aspect because basically I'm the,
for the record, Holsinger barely made the cut.
Yes. So we had to Google it when we first thought about this podcast, and it's 82 is when the millennials start. So I like to say I was a trendsetter.
started the chain.
If you want to call me the godfather, you can.
Papa millennial.
Yeah.
Papa millennial. That's funny.
Okay.
So for me, I mean, I just got a call from Soli on a Sunday morning. He was on his way to pick up his puppy down in, yeah. Where are you going down to Alabama to pick up Riley?
Yeah, his rescue. Brought him back to Tennessee.
Yeah. And so he just called me and said, hey, I'm going to do this podcast. I need you to do it with me. And I was like, okay,
let's do it.
I mean, yeah. We like hanging out, talking about stuff anyway. We might as well record it.
Absolutely.
Well, Holsinger, I want you to tell me a little bit about your story. You know, Payman and I, we recorded a good bit last week or so, and we'll get to that episode in the next episode or two on kind of his journey from the corporate world into a startup. I kind of want you to take some time this episode to share kind of a little bit of your story. Because one of the things I think it's about the great about the three of us is we kind of cover the gambit a little bit.
Yeah,
we
have, really do.
One, we are three different classes. So you're the papa, you're the oldest. And then, you know, Payman was a year before me. And, you know, he's done the corporate thing. I went straight into an associateship. You did kind of associateship and then went back to residency. So let's, so give us a little bit about your journey and then what kind of, yeah, tell us about that.
So I went to UT back in 2006, graduated in 2010. When I was graduating dental school, I was just like, I got to get out of here. I'm ready to work. I need to make some money. I got to pay back these loans. And I had a lot of friends in my class that were applying for residency, doing AGDs, GPRs. But for me, I was just done with school at that point, and I was ready to go out and practice and get some experience and make some money. And I liked general dentistry because I could do everything. So I graduated, took a job in Arkansas, worked for a year in a Medicaid clinic. So did a lot of dentures, a lot of extractions.
How did that process work? How did you find that job? Did you want it? Where are you? You were from Memphis?
Yeah, I'm from Memphis. And so I was actually looking for a job in Nashville. This is where I wanted to be. Okay. I had a lot of friends from college that moved to Nashville. But as I was looking for jobs, I think there was a total of 7 to 8 people in my class that were from Nashville and going back. And so all the jobs were saturated. I mean, it was just, you couldn't find anything.
Did you see a lot of older dentists hiring younger dentists, or was there a lot of job opportunities, or what was the kind of dynamics of your class, like percentage wise, you say?
Oh man. I mean, I think there was like one or two that did startups. And then I would say our class was highly specialized. I would say probably 30 to 35% of our class almost specialized. Wow. So we had a really competitive class. I mean, we were very cohesive. We had a good time together, but we had a really sharp, like, good class. We had a good time and kind of ruined the curve for me a couple of times. But, but I mean, and so a lot of people did GPRs, AGDs, residency programs. A couple of people went back to their hometown and went in with their uncle, their father-in-law, or their dad to practice with. And then a couple did startups. And then a lot of people took associateships. And so for me, I couldn't find a job there in Nashville. And I had a friend in my class that just happened. He was taking a job in Jonesboro, and he knew of another dentist that was needed somebody, and asked him, like, do you know of anybody? And I told him it was like February of that year, and told him, like, hey, I need a job. I can't find anything. Graduating in May, and you have nothing lined up, and it's February.
I mean, well, and I think people can relate to that. I mean, here we are. It's February, you know, and we're releasing this, and there's probably a lot of D4s who are like, what am I doing? You know, and I think it's kind of where you were, Payman, too.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it was worse for me because I got out in May and I still hadn't had to sign a contract or anything because I was thinking of, I got a bunch of contracts that I was looking at in May because I was thinking of moving to West Coast from Nashville.
Oh, wow.
And I was looking at all these corporates and something that I was looking online and Oregon, Vegas, and California, like Pacific Dental, a lot of those chains and corporates. I had a lot of the contracts. I was looking at them in May, and then I graduated. I was going to sign one of them and just move to the West Coast, but it was till May till I really didn't know where I was going to end up. And it's a different story to how I ended up in Tennessee, and I'm going to be here for probably many years, but
say there's hope. There's hope.
Correct.
People who
so there's
are
a lot of
here.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm one of those people that I was done with the school. The fourth year, I took even my boards in December before prior to graduation, and we passed. But the whole 6 months, I was looking, but I wasn't really looking like that, you know. So at the end of the day, there's still hope for a lot of people, especially D4s or people that are gonna. They're thinking that time's running out. No, I mean, it's still February. So I think another 3-4 months is still got. And I mean, you're not going to get your diploma till like June.
Yeah, you can't get your license.
Right.
Till.
Your diploma or license for at least another 3-4 weeks following graduation.
Right.
So July would be the first where you actually could start working as a dentist.
So. Yeah. All right. We'll keep going, Holsinger. So Jonesboro associateship job.
Yeah, I got a job up there. Really, two cool guys. I mean, I had the opportunity to work with them. They'd never brought anybody in. They had one guy who was just kind of working for them part-time. So I went and worked there for them for a year, but I just didn't want to be in Arkansas. I mean, love the state. Great place to go fishing. Got the hogs there and everything. But just, I mean, I wasn't from Jonesboro, small town Arkansas. It's just I wanted to be in Nashville. So right when I got there, I started looking for a job in Nashville. And so found something, moved over to Nashville. And when I started working that practice, it was a office of this dentist. He's fantastic. And he hired me to run this office that he had bought in Brentwood, Tennessee, right here. And so took that job. I mean, that was like the dream for me. Moved to Nashville, live in, work in Brentwood. It was like a dream come true.
Yeah.
So I get here and I mean.
This is 2012.
This is 2011.
11. Okay.
Yeah, 2011.
Papa millennial, right? Yeah.
So 10, you graduated in May, you worked for a year, and then you found this office in Brentwood in 2011.
Yeah. So, I was really trying to do my country music career, but dentistry was my fallback.
Sure.
So
nothing like a redhead in cowboy boots.
And so I joined that practice, and like I was working there, and it was pretty slow. I mean, working at a startup, I mean, over there, and I was on salary there, so it was hard to be all into it because not being an owner and not being busy. Mm-hmm. And as I was there, and then I didn't see many kids in that office, but then when they came in, it was just a lot of fun. I just enjoyed it, and then I realized I should go back and do pediatrics.
That was the time that where you actually thought of doing. Okay.
Yeah. And so, of course, a classic me, I didn't apply on time because like the way the cycles work, it's so early you have to apply. Like you turn your stuff in by like August the year before.
Wow.
And so, I mean, being back in Nashville, I mean, I didn't know until like September. I was like, man, yeah. I mean, I've been there a couple months, and all of a sudden I was like, man, I really want to go back to pediatric school. So I started looking into it. And I was like, well, I missed the pass deadline, and so I had to wait for the next year to apply.
So you worked for a year over there, start up dental practice?
Yeah, and so I ended up being there 2 years because I applied, I got in the UT, went the residency down back in Memphis. And so
What was the grouping of your class? Like, was most of your pedo residency class, had they been out a while, or were they, like, are you glad in hindsight that you took time or you didn't go in right away? Because that's obviously something that probably a lot of people are thinking about.
A lot of people do that.
Oh, 100%. And for me, it was the best thing I could have done. Because not only did I get to go out and practice as a general dentist, I learned a lot of good stuff. I also got to learn like what it is to be a general dentist and to be able to do all this stuff for the patients. And you're kind of like the gatekeeper of where the patients go.
Yeah, there we are.
And so, and then like working with specialists in that, like working with an oral surgeon, working with an orthodontist, working with the pediatric dentist, I mean, working with the endodontist, like how that relationship works from the general side for me. So I think as a specialist, that kind of helped me understand that a little more. And so like for me, I try to like follow up with when I have a patient referred to me, like follow up with them, always have an open channel of communication, because I know as a general dentist for me, and I'm sure for y'all, is that when you send a patient out to a specialist and then all of a sudden you can't get a hold of them to talk about that patient, that's going to be a little frustrating.
Sure.
At least for me.
So that's really frustrating.
So I try to be really available, unless it's solely calling, of course, at about 1:30 in the afternoon. But
dude, so I had to send a patient one time, man. So I do a lot of, basically when you're grinding, which you get this, like, sure. I don't really try to refer anything out when we were first starting. This was probably like month three of me being out of dental school. And so like, I'm like, just if it walked in, I was like, I'll do it. Let's go.
Yeah.
So this patient walks in, the kid's name's Riot. It's like, that should have been like a tip off right there. Like run away.
Was it Riot or was it like Mayhem, or it might've been like, I don't know. It was something like that.
A ransom. Yeah. I think it was Riot.
Yeah. It was one of those names. Yeah. Something like
that. It was something like, you shouldn't do a name. Don't see the patient. But so I get like a, and it's like an MO. Okay. And I was like, but again, like I'm doing it. I'm not going to send it, to be honest. I can handle this. It's an MO. So I'm like, K, AJK, a lower molar. Yep. So I get in and I'm prepping this. I get them numb. So I'm like, you get them numb. You're like, okay, I'm through. I made it through the woods. Like this is going to be good. I start prepping. Bro freaking bites my finger, like straight up, like cuts the glove, draws blood. And I'm like, oh, hell no. Like that. No, that take. So I get up, walk in. And I was like, just a second, walk in room and like pick up the phone and dial him. I can't get, he don't answer the phones. I can't even get a hold of their office. So like on lunch or something. I call his cell. No answer. I'm like texting him. Like, please call me back. Please call me back. So finally he calls me back and I'm like, I have a patient. I'm sending him to you. He's numb. He needs half a filling because I'm right on the other half. And I'm not charging a thing. I told him, take your money and go to Holzinger.
That's funny. So, the patient was how old was the patient?
Like 8. Like old enough that you don't know not to bite.
I've heard that a lot. Like, do they really bite like a lot? Because I heard that.
You got to be really fast. I mean, yeah. And you got to hope when they bite you, they just like grab your glove and you can just kind of slip through and they just kind of grab the glove. But I've been bit a couple times.
I've heard that a lot.
Yeah.
No, I have. I have, because I haven't really seen kids since dental school. And I was wondering, how do these, like, how do you handle?
Yeah, well, as a startup, you should be seeing more kids. you take everything.
No, I mean, kids, I cannot deal. I mean, I love kids. I mean, I love to, I mean, I have, I love my nephews, but
yeah,
that's about
that's,
it.
That's as far as it goes.
So my class was, I think we were talking about, yeah, like, how many people, like, if they're straight out of school or anything. Mm-hmm. So the year that I was in there, there was only one girl in my class that was straight out of school. Everybody else had been out. I had been out 3 years. One had been out 1 year, one 4 years, and one 6 years. Wow. I think there's one more. Another one was with me 3 years. So all of us had gone out, practiced for a while, and came back. And so, I mean, and so the five of us out of the six that had been out and practicing, we were all nervous about coming back to school and getting back in study mode.
Yeah.
Which the one girl in our class, she was scared to death that these are all people that have been out practicing for a couple of years and I'm not going to know what to do.
If that, it sounds weird, that's because Payman just turned off his mic to get more beer. So excuse the random mic going off through there. Okay, keep going, old singer.
Yeah. And so, but I mean, other than that, I mean, there's, I'm really glad I went and practiced for a year just to get that experience and to just to know what I really loved. And so, like, what I enjoy doing. I learned that I did not want to do root canals.
Yeah.
So I could scratch.
Well, and listen, people, itself. Like, ultimately, like, I think one of the best parts about a profession is, like, you really, when you graduate, you have a license to figure that kind of thing out.
Oh, yeah.
And so, as a GP, you can go out and practice and try things and do things. And you can, you can go take CE on endo. You can go take CE on ortho. You can learn to do stuff and say, hey, you know, because ultimately, there, me taking 6 months of smiles could have done, it could have made me really fall in love with ortho.
Yeah.
And maybe I want to go back, or maybe I want to build a GP practice of ortho. You know, mm-hmm. I know GPs that who literally built their practice around ortho. But we had the, we can figure that out. And I think it's not like an end all be all to like necessarily graduate and go straight into a residency. I think that's a good point to be like, hey, it's okay to figure something out.
Yeah, take your time, just kind of see what's going on. Now, I know that sometimes there is a point that I think some programs where if you've been out for over 7 years, then they're kind of like, okay,
yeah, well, why is this a point?
But I would say definitely after like, definitely within that first 5 years of practicing, if that's something you want to do, I mean, that's probably the most optimal time.
Because like at this point for me, like I've realized like there's no reason for me to go back to work.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
A residency, right? Like I'm.
Yeah.
That's a good point because right now we're
Payman's back with the beer.
Right. Yes. This is a very good discussion we were having because it's such a common thing that it goes around a lot of people's head and they think about, should I go back? Should I wait? Do I like general dentistry?
Yeah, definitely.
And then every day you get a message from some of your friends who are like, hey guys, like I maybe general dentistry not really for me. I should do like pedo or should I should do like ortho. They enjoy that part of dentistry more. Mm-hmm.
I guess for me, you know, I'm kind of a little different than both of y'all just because, you know, Payman, you went to corporate and then went into startup. We'll hear more about that. And then you obviously going out and then doing residency. And so I went straight into an associateship with my dad. So I'm fifth generation dentist. Mm-hmm. Literally, it's like in my blood. You know, I'd been running around the practice since I was a little kid. And so it was kind of, didn't really think about doing it till college. But then once I kind of came around to the fact, hey, you're good at math and science and hey, I like that my dad works 4 days a week. I mean, let's be honest, that's a nice perk. Then I was like, let's go to dental school. So did that, came out. And I kind of realized early on that, okay, you're falling into a really good situation. You know, it doesn't get much better than having a great mentor who is like a super GP. My dad has a ton of specialty stuff. Mm-hmm. And the ability to kind of, okay, there's two options you can do this. One is you kind of come in here and be an associate, do stuff, it'd be fine. And the other was like, okay, let's run with this situation, okay? You had a good head start, run with it. So that's what I did. So I immediately graduating, I tried to take every CE that dad didn't do. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, the one way to build this practice to support enough patients for the two of us is to go out and do what he doesn't do. So I took 6 months smiles. I learned how to play.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but when you were in dental school, did you guys have communication as far as what you're going to do when he gets out?
You know, it was like, funny. That's a good question because I used to always come back to the office and they'd be like, do you like to do endo? You like to do endo? Your dad hates endo. Your dad hates endo. So I was like, well, kind of. I mean, I do. But like, you know, you get such limited experience in endo.
Sure.
So what happened for us was we had some communication. We kind of were starting to talk about things. And then once he got really down to the end, that's when we started talking about, okay, you know, you should look at braces. You should look at this. You should look at, you know, I went and took the pinhole graft, learned how to graft, do soft tissue grafting. We both started placing implants again. And what happened was immediately we had patients who had been in practices who wanted treatment, but didn't want to go anywhere else, that all of a sudden started saying yes.
Because
they didn't have to go anywhere else.
Right.
And I think that's a super undervalued thing is patients don't want to leave your office. And if you're a GP, like you probably had experience where patients are like, oh, can you do the root canal, please? I don't want to go there.
They have a relationship. They trust you.
Yeah, they trust your staff.
Know, even if you don't know how to do it.
They know where to park.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's the little things like that. I think there's a comfort level.
And for listeners out there that don't know this, it's funny because I live in the same city, almost close. I mean, I'm in Nashville.
Yeah.
So I was in Brentwood, Tennessee, but I know a lot of people that I talk to and they're like, I ask them, oh, who's your dentist? And they're like, oh, Sullivan's. Like they're actually very famous in Brentwood, Tennessee. And I never thought because, I mean, this is as funny as it gets. My UPS girl the other day, I was like, hey.
No way.
I come in for cleaning, like for the holidays. Yeah, like back
startup, you know, bro, over here. Like,
yeah, the UPS come in the UPS girl. You know, like, hey, I'll hook you up, like 15% off and all that. She's like, hey, no, I got Sullivan's. I'll go to Sullivan's. No I'm way. Like, oh my God, this is awesome. Like, I was happy. I was like, yeah, I know Sully.
You're like, I'll charge you less, whatever he's charging you.
No, I was just happy to hear, like, oh my implants? God, they're actually out there. So it's a great practice. You guys have done a phenomenal job as far as marketing and getting out there to people. Loving you guys.
Well, thanks.
That's great.
It's been fun because, like I said, it really has been, and I cannot wait. What I'd love to do is have an episode where maybe the two of you kind of interview my dad or interview me and dad and kind of talk about what's made us successful. Because, I mean, literally our practice has grown over 200% in a year and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, crazy amount. And a lot of that has to do with his ability to let me come in with new ideas.
Open mind.
Exactly. And be like, you know, let's try this, Dad. Let's do this marketing thing. Let's run with this. Let's, you know, and him being able to kind of let me try stuff, you know, not cherry picking procedures, sure. You know, letting me do things.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of gets back to the endo thing. We always joke because, you know, when you hire an associate, you get two things. One, all of a sudden you have more time because now you have two doctors. Okay. And at first you don't have double the patients. So now you have more time to do things. So, and what's the biggest thing that probably most GPs complain about? Endo. It takes time. So all of a sudden, you know, now it becomes less of a burden because you have the time to do it. Because if I didn't feel comfortable with the endo, then he would do it. Okay. And then I would kind of take his schedule or vice versa. So, and we switched systems. And so a lot of that stuff really helped us kind of grow the practice and whatnot. So
we're working the chemistry, working together. Because at the end of the day, as much as you say it's good, a lot of people that start where you are coming from, where you get out and come and be an associate, because I'm seeing it every day with a lot of my friends.
Yeah.
That it changes. That chemistry changes over time. And there's a lot of these older
What do you think
dentists.
Is the biggest limiting factor to younger dentists and associateships?
The limiting factor, I think that older dentists getting more greedy because they think of that younger dentist is there to make them richer. And that's where I see a lot of my friends because ultimately to me, I feel that is the older dentists thought that they're going to make a lot more money before and they're not ready to retire. Now they're seeing a young blood coming in and doing a lot of things that they wished they'd done back when they were 30s, maybe 29s and 30s. And now like they're like, wait a minute, instead of paying you 35% collection, why not I'll pay you 30%? So they start changing. I see contracts being changed. I see people falling out of, I mean, every single day. So I'm taking the young generation dentist side, to be honest, because I think it's ultimately poor preparation by older dentists not being ready to do that and to welcome the young dentists. And there's going to be a lot of old dentists saying the opposite.
Let's defend, you know, because we don't want to run afoul our old listeners. I think I agree with you a lot, but I do think that there are some, because look, you're busting your ass right now for it. I mean, you're working for it.
Sure.
And I think you're the ideal, like that's, you're the guy that the old guy wants to hire. I think there are some younger dentists who aren't putting the time and effort in. And like, we need to be doing that. We don't need to have a rap that we're showing up late. We're not wanting to go pay for a CE. We're not wanting to learn.
That is true. I mean, honestly, that is also one
how many that, wait a minute, how many hours of CE have you taken in?
900 right now. 930 some hours of CE.
900 and you've been out of school what? It'll be 3 years in May.
About 3 years in May. Yeah,
that's over 300 hours a year.
I mean, that's the goal, because I think what we need to do is to get a lot of these older, especially
I want
to
interview a lot of older guys.
Yeah, we're going to interview and then learn their secret of how they approach younger dentists. How can they get us excited even more than what we already are? Like, we are probably some of the ones that are out there. We want to do more. We want to make more money. We want to do things like better, but there's going to be a lot of people that need that little bit of motivation.
Yep, yep.
And what is that older dentist job, and how do they make young people like us, young folks, dental students out of school to get a more motivated and excited about wanting to do more dentistry?
I want that to be a question we ask pretty much all of our interviewees is, what do you think, you know, if you're the younger dentist, what do you think the problem is? What, why? And then if you're an older dentist, what is their view on us, right? Because we got to figure that if ultimately we want to really fix that and start to hit that head on, and because I think that's better for the patients if we can have more associates that are, you know, more practices that are passed on.
Because we have both. Now we have the experience of the older dentists that could watch the case.
Oh, definitely.
And the young generation
new
dentists
ideas,
that are wanting to do the new things.
New technology.
Keeping up the new technology, the stereoactive blocks and everything that you're doing right now, for example, onlay and stuff that used to be put on crowns, PFM back in the day. Now, you're being conservative with the tooth. You're just taking out what needs to come out, and you're still making a patient same day onlay.
Sure.
So it's amazing what the new type of treatment that we're offering people, but it's working in your dental office right now because you have a great chemistry with your dad.
With the old guy.
With the old guy.
Yeah.
And how can we duplicate that more and more in different cities in the country where we can get that, offer that dentistry to everybody?
Yeah, and it just lets you, like, if you can just integrate these two mindsets of, like, using technology, I mean, the years of experience, just integrate that together just to give, just to treat patients better, give them a better service, give them great dentistry, treat them right, and then you're able to work.
Everything works out. So
yeah, work smarter and you don't have to work as much as harder.
Yeah, that's like the goal, right? Work.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, able to take vacations.
For sure.
Able to take care of your patients. I mean, just live life and enjoy it and take care of people and be successful.
So I think that really is the summary. I mean, I think,
yeah,
you know, we're hitting the wall here. We want to keep it, we kind of want to keep it short. You know, we could go on all night. This is fun. But yeah, ultimately we want to inspire young guys to get excited about this. We want to inspire old guys, you know, people that are, yeah, we do. I mean, we want to
kind of bring these two generations closer. Because of what you have as an advantage, I mean, I would say you're blessed.
Yeah, 100%.
We got to take, I mean, you.
But it's given me an early time to view it, so that, like, we could pass the, like,
that, pass it on.
Right. I mean, there's so many people in my class that are, like, still trying to figure out what they're going to do with this.
And you're not the only one. I mean, I know a ton of people in our class that are kind of like, they have that in dentist, but their relationship are nothing like what you have with your dad and what you talk about your dad.
Right.
They're not saying the same thing with their dad. So
yeah.
It's amazing what you have going on, and I feel like that's something we got to touch on and get a lot of people's input.
Hopefully. Yeah, and I'm still trying to do it.
Well, thank you both. I can't wait.
Football diamond.
This is going to be great.
We're football about, diamonds.
We're going to talk about how Payman wants to remove pigmentation with a football diamond.
Depigmentation. Depigmentation with a football diamond on a slow speed with lots of water.
Atraumatic.
You're going to have to check that episode out. But yeah, thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Millennial Dentist. Check out our website, millennialdentist.com. We'll be posting blog posts, pictures, that sort of thing there, and on Twitter at MillennialDDS.
Yeah, Millennial has two L's and two N's in it.
It does. And I bought both domains, though, so if you spell it wrong.
You're still going to end up there.
All right, and everybody just remember, let's work smarter.
Not harder.
Love it.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.